Today on Real Radio.
Moses and the law pointed to God's absolute holiness and man's inability to be holy. That's why in Habakkuk chapter 2, the Old Testament, it says that the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say the just shall live by keeping the law.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. John's Gospel, as well as these three letters, exhibit certain patterns, words, and phrases that reflect his insights into the truths that he's learned directly from the Son of God himself. Among these are knowledge, truth, and assurance. Well, the last six verses of chapter 3 here in 1 John are no exception, and we'll see why. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a lesson taken from this section of John's letter. It's called The Christian's Assurance.
I'm going to give you this verse, and off we go to the next point here. Those of you who are battling with this, I want to just give you personally what helped me and helps me still. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Okay? Great. Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? That he's come to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. Right? The knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Anybody battling with pornography or thoughts about it? What about temper? What about your pride? Or what about, you name it. Bring that thought under the captivity of Christ. Well, how often? As often as you think it. You know what that means? It could be five times a day if you're right on, or if you're not. You can join the club with the rest of us, and it could be 100 times a day. You can be tooling along, and all of a sudden, there's this thing. Somebody cuts you off, and somebody cuts you off of the freeway, and immediately, my mind, I think of the grill. This is terrible to admit, but if you ever cut me off, this is what goes through my mind. The grill of my car, I've seen too many James Bond movies, I guess. The grill of my car opens up, and there's machine guns in the grill. You know, that's what I would love to do. And all the time I'm a Christian, sitting behind the wheel. It's like driver's ed class. Remember, you see the movie with Goofy? He's, you know, and he gets there and he gets behind the wheel, he turns into a demon. When those thoughts come in, you got to bring every one of those thoughts under the captivity of Christ. Are you being tempted? Bring it under the captivity of Christ. Wrestle with it. Fight with it. How many times? All day long if necessary. Fight it. Fight hard, but fight it. Very, very important. You won't live another day if you give in to it spiritually. It will just absolutely eat on you. Take the thought to Christ. And also we see here that there's a confidence continually before him. We can live and walk with him. Look what he says in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. It doesn't mean to sit around and gloat about it. It means to get up and move or motor in it. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When we recognize our assurance in Jesus Christ, we can move on in confidence because our hearts, listen, no longer rule. Our hearts have been overruled by God's wonderful saving grace. Number two, his truth encourages us to pray. His truth does. You ever read the Bible? Do you ever read the Bible and come away with, after reading it, not wanting to pray? You know what? I find myself not praying when I'm not in this book. Did anybody hear that? Is that how it is in your life? If I'm not in this book, I'm not prone to pray. If I'm in this book, I not only want to pray, I've got things to pray about. I don't understand people. You haven't had many problems, I guess. I don't know. When people say, I just don't know what to pray about. Are you for real? You know, how's your kids, or how's your job, or how's your family, or how's your parents? How's your neighbors? How's your health? You don't have anything to pray about. You can't think about it. I want to know who you are, brother. I want to give you a prayer list. I'll give you something. His truth encourages us to pray. He says in verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Do you hear any apology given there? He just says it. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Boy, is that a confident statement or what? Oh, it sounds a little arrogant to me. John's standing in the Lord. If you were to interview John after saying that, John, don't you think you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Do you keep all the commandments of God? Well, no man is able to keep all the commandments of God. But Jesus says this is the commandment of God. To trust in him whom God has sent. Well, I can do that. Well, that's what God requires. Well, we can all do that. His truth encourages us to pray. How so? Prayer keeps us connected to him. Prayer is not a job. Prayer is not a spiritual exercise. Prayer is fellowship with God. Listen, prayer is not to get what you want accomplished. Prayer is to get God's will done in our lives. Prayer causes us to come in line with God's will. Well, are you sure? Yeah, because the Bible says if God's word abides in us, John 15:7, we may ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. Why? Because his word abides in us. That is his will. Pray the word of God. And you will have answers to your prayers. Pray your own agenda, and you're not going to get an answer. Jot this down. Love this verse. God's phone number, 1-800-Jeremiah-33-3. Jeremiah-33-3. God says, call me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's Jeremiah-33-3. 1-800-Jeremiah-33-3. Mark 11:24. Jesus says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Really? Yeah, if his word abides in you. I love this. 1 Timothy 2:8. Paul says, I desire therefore that men... that's mankind, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting unto the Lord. Secondly, prayer keeps us growing in spirit. Prayer does. He says in verse 22, the latter end, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He says not only do we keep his commandments, but we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It implies that we're walking with him, he with us, at all times. And that is true. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the scripture says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's good news. Prayer keeps us growing in spirit, in the Spirit of God, in the work of God. Listen, in God's realm, how is this true? Because in God's realm, love fuels our obedience, which leads us to freedom and liberty. This is the way God works. This is his economy. When we obey God, we are set free. It's the exact opposite of the world. When we obey the world, we are led into bondage. When we obey God, we are led into liberty. The Lord comes and tells us that the law came through Moses, but what? Grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Was Moses bad? No. Moses and the law pointed to God's absolute holiness and man's inability to be holy. That's why in Habakkuk chapter 2, the Old Testament, it says that the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say the just shall live by keeping the law. The law in the book of Galatians, Paul says, is the pedagogus, the schoolmaster, the one that drives you to Christ. You see, if somebody that you know is arrogant and self-righteous, give them the law. The law breaks them down, and then give them the saving message of Jesus Christ. If you know somebody who's already broken down, they're already humbled, don't give them the law. Give them the grace of God. For it is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Use the law, and every Christian, you and I should know when to use the law to bring somebody to Christ and when we use the love and the grace of God to bring somebody to Christ. You need to know that. You can learn that in sharing your faith or the call ministries. They'll teach you evangelism. Gentle grace, they'll teach you these things. When we obey the word, things will happen. There is no substitute for obedience to the word of God. What did Saul, King Saul, he was a man so bent on emotions. The guy was nuts. At one moment, he's worshiping the Lord with his hands raised. And in the next moment, because he was a soul man, he was led by the soul. Emotions. King Saul was an emotionally driven man. He's worshiping God one minute, then the next minute he picks up a spear and throws it at David. Tries to kill him. And then he says, oh, David, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, you know. He was like up and down. And what came to him? To obey Saul is better than to sacrifice. There's no substitute for obedience. You want to be blessed? Be obedient to God's word. He's going to bless you. Obey him. Obedience. He's looking for it. Are we obedient to him? He will bless if we are. It's a fact. It's not legalistic. It's not hard. It's just a fact. Think about having a child. If that child is constantly disobedient, you're not going to be prone to bless that child much because you're having to so often discipline them and train them lest they go headlong into peril all the time. You want to train them. What you want to do is train them and then see them walk in truth and bless them. If you're disobedient to the Lord tonight and you're a Christian, he's going to discipline you. You better hope he does anyway or else you're not his. You're lost. But if you're a Christian, he's going to spank you. If you don't repent, he's going to spank you because he loves you. Maybe you haven't been having your prayers answered. And the Lord is saying, I'm not going to answer your prayer. And you said, well, doesn't God always hear us when we pray? The answer is absolutely not. He doesn't always hear us when we pray. Mark it down in your Bible, Isaiah chapter 59. Verses 1 and 2. This is written to believers. Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save you, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you. That's Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's important. You can still be in the family of God, but God's not going to be listening to you because he's waiting for a very, very important word. He's waiting for you to say, Lord, I repent. And then he says, thank you. Now that the line is cleared up, let's talk. But when you're at odds with your child or your child's at odds with you, they don't come to you and say, you know, I know we just had a knockdown, drag-out argument here, but I want to tell you what I want for Christmas. You say, get out of my sight. Don't come back here again until you've repented. You're not going to talk about Christmas. And then they come and they say, I'm sorry. Children, when they're young and tender, it doesn't take them long to repent, you notice? They usually repent, or certainly by dinner time, they repent. And it's so cool because, you know, communication's broken and you look at them, give them a little frown because they haven't said they're sorry yet. Don't come out of your room until you say you're sorry. So they storm off. And they go in the room. But eventually that child will come out, and doesn't, again, it doesn't take them long to repent. It goes from broken fellowship, no communication, to crawling up into your lap, hugging and kissing. How can that happen? Because when we obey him and repent of our sin, he receives us back into fellowship. We don't lose our salvation. Fellowship's broken. Communication's broken. You get that cleared up, and now you're under the spout where the glory comes out. And things are happening again. The third thing, and we'll run through this quickly, his truth guarantees our future. Praise the Lord for that. His truth guarantees our future. Listen, we've been guaranteed salvation. Who guaranteed it? Jesus. It says in verses 23 to 24, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Can you do that? You can choose to do that tonight if you haven't. And after having done that, what results is loving one another. God puts his love in our hearts as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. I'll explain this in a second. And he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And whom he has given. Listen, first of all, quickly. The means is obedience. Obedience to God must always come from love. Always. Obedience out of fear is tyranny. Obedience from love is so vitally important because it is blessing. Second, the evidence of this love is loving one another. It's the only way that you're going to know if I'm a Christian, and it's the only way I'm going to know if you're a Christian is if we love on one another. It doesn't matter what I say up here. Not at all. Third thing about that is that the goal is to abide in Christ. We've been guaranteed salvation. It says, and this is his commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus said in the Gospels, if you do this, you fulfill the law. This and loving one another. Secondly, we've been guaranteed fellowship. We've been guaranteed fellowship. He says in verse 23, and love one another as he has given us commandment. Jot this down. We have no time to go to them. Look at them later. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16. Galatians 5, verse 6. And 1 Peter 1, 22. We have been guaranteed fellowship, verse 23. And then finally, look with me, we've been guaranteed redemption. And this is what I want to come back to in closing here at this verse. It says in verse 24, let me read it like this. You can write this out for yourself. But follow along with me. I'm going to use my name because I'm selfish. We've been guaranteed redemption. Watch this. Follow with me now. Verse 24. Now he, that's Jack, me, who keeps his commands, the his is the Lord's commands, abides in him. Who's him? Christ. And he, that is the Lord, in him, that's Jack, or whatever your name is, and by this we know, that is the church knows, that he, Jesus, abides in us. By the Spirit, whom he, Jesus, has given us. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verses 13 through 18, that Jesus Christ has given us his Spirit. He says, I'm going to give my Holy Spirit to you and you will not be orphaned. I will come to you. That's an interesting thing. I'm going to go away. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, then Jesus says, then I'm going to be inside you. How does he live inside you and I right now? By the person of the Holy Spirit. And I want to end with this. It doesn't matter as a church. It does not matter what I say unless what I say jives or is in harmony with what I do. This is so important to me that I wrote this down and I'm going to just give it to you as it is. Concerning this, the Christian's assurance, the bottom line is love. If we love God, we can't help but love one another. Don't tell me you love the Lord, but you want to kill your brother. It's impossible. You're a liar. The truth's not in you if that's the case. But I want to say this, just as I wrote it down, concerning the love of God. I've seen people who are doctrinally correct. They could write books. But are socially or practically in the area of love when it comes to the body, absolutely incorrect. Listen, and I may upset some people with this, but just pray about it. To those of us who are Christians tonight, what you know about Christ, maybe you might say, well, I know a lot. You know what? If you know a lot, you should be A, humble. B, loving. In fact, according to the Bible, we should be able to go around this place and observe the most humble and loving person in this body. And that equates to knowing God. Do you know that there's going to be tremendous, quite possibly famous theologians who spend all of their time in their ivory tower, you know, trying to decipher their theological tweedledees from their tweedledums, never going out and visiting the orphans or the homeless or the fatherless or the whatever, never loved on you, never knew you. They were icons in a pulpit, but they never associated themselves with you or with me. And it's my understanding from the Bible that they may not be in heaven. Well, he's the president of Blankety Blank Seminary. Oh, I see. Yeah, that changes the verse. The scripture says, by their love you'll know them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the last six verses of 1 John chapter 3. It's a lesson called The Christian's Assurance. The Christian's Assurance. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you may remember a while back here on Real Radio, we aired Pastor Jack's series on Ruth and Boaz. In fact, the title is Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way. Well, it is indeed a fascinating narrative found in Ruth chapter 2 and verses 4 through 17. And the requests for this series really came flooding in. So we thought, well, in honor of Valentine's Day, why don't we make that 2-CD series available to all Real Radio listeners once again? In this series, Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way, Pastor Jack takes you through the biblical example of what falling in love should be like from God's perspective. It's taken from one of the most famous love stories of all time, Ruth and Boaz, living out a pure, deep, and committed attraction toward one another. Quite the contrast from today's climate of heated passions and uncontrolled lust resulting in relationships that, well, quite frankly, rarely succeed. Now here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set, Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Again, for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set, Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love God's Way. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or give us a call if you'd like, the number 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, Pastor Jack's series on two audio CDs, Ruth and Boaz, Falling in Love, God's Way. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.